Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the 2008 World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up the deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
Well, we apologize for being a little bit late tonight. We had some technical difficulties down here in the Lumiere Poker Room. But we are on the air for 22 minutes tonight. And it's not because Dennis's plane was late.
Although it was.
Yes, they were 3 for 3 on my three trips to South America so far.
I'm Paul Harris. He's Dennis Phillips. Welcome to the Lumiere Place Final Table. And Dennis has just gotten back from yet another trip to South America, three times to the Latin American Poker Tour. You were in Chile. You were in Uruguay. And where were you this time?
Well, I was in a little place called Argentina.
Why, that's a long way from St. Louis. That's as far as you can go south before you get to Antarctica, right?
None of these were close. We were down the far ends of it, but we were on the at a casino on the beach in Latin America.
And I'm sure you spent a lot of time in the beach and did a lot of swimming as usual.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Liar.
No kidding.
You didn't touch the water again,
did you? I didn't even come close. Wasn't even a chance. Oh, well.
But you were down there with some friends, and tell me the story, because you texted me from the Buenos Aires airport, said you won't believe what's about to happen. Tell the audience exactly what happened there.
I was out in Vegas playing some of the tournaments out there, flew through Dallas to get down there, 3 hours late in Dallas, had to change planes, finally got a takeoff, make it down to Buenos Aires, arrived there, and I'm going, okay, this is fun, because the resort is a five-hour drive away from there.
Yep.
So I'm not for sure what's going on. I call Christian, the gentleman from PokerStars who coordinates all this. He says, you're still in the airport? I said, well, yeah, no problem at all. Come on up to the tarmac. Sent a guy in to pick me up. I go walking out. There's a private jet out there.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. Dennis Phillips Airlines.
Absolutely. They had to have it just waiting till I showed up, right?
Yeah.
Then there were a couple other little people in there with me, though.
Like who?
Joe Hashem, Chris Moneymaker, Boris Becker.
What? Boris Becker?
Boris Becker, yes.
The great tennis star?
That's him.
Are they dropping him off at a tennis tournament down there?
No, Boris played a game down there. It's called Texas Hold'em. I think it was the first time he'd ever played.
But, he's a poker player now.
No, he is. He's a very good guy. He's a poker player. He actually got busted on that and then flew up to Vegas. He's playing out in the
WPT Championship at the Bellagio.
Right now.
Wow.
Yeah, no, he is a poker player, loves the game. He was down there with his girlfriend, and I got to fly in a private jet with him and those other guys, whoever they were, you know.
How cool.
It was kind of neat.
Did you get to play at any tables with Boris while you were down there?
Did not. He was at a different table than me. I did talk to him for a little while, talked to some people who played with him and everything like that.
You are such a world traveler now. And next week you're going to Monte Carlo.
Yes, I am. That'll be another new one. You realize, back in July, when I had my nice run out there and everything, I did not even have a passport.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
9 months ago, you did not have a passport.
That is correct.
Since then, you've been halfway around the world.
More than that.
How many miles have you put on your frequent flyer?
I actually figured this up the other day. All righty. On American Airlines alone, after this trip down to Argentina, I'm at 97,000 miles since September 25th.
Wow!
That doesn't include the other airlines that I've flown, which is a number of those. I'm somewhere around 130,000 miles now in 7 months.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
For a guy who didn't have a passport 9 months ago.
Yeah, and now it's almost worn out.
That's absolutely amazing. How did you do at the Latin American Poker Tour event down there in Argentina?
I had a lot of fun, but I frankly didn't do that well. I played three tournaments down there and got knocked out of all three of them. A couple of coolers, one hand I still shaking my head on, but you know, that's poker. You know, what can you say? I absolutely knew my pocket jacks were no good against a 6-9 offsuit. I knew I was in trouble.
What? You know, before you go into the hand, let's bring in our friend Joe McGowan, the poker coach, who joins us every week here and shares some tips. Joe, we've got only a limited amount of time tonight, so we're just going to kind of talk about hands and get your thoughts on them as we go along. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Paul. How are you? How are you, Dennis?
I'm doing great. I had one of those hands that you run into all the time, you know, the monster hand, a 9-6 offsuit.
Okay.
Tell the story of the hand.
You've had those too, haven't you?
So, Tell the story of the hand so we know what happened.
Well, I'll keep it real simple. I had pocket jacks. I made a 3X raise, folded to the button, small blind, smooth called, the big blind folded. So just heads up going into it.
And you got position on it because he's a small
position,
blind.
Absolutely. 6-3 deuce on the flop. He checked. I made a nice continuation bet. Nice, I bet about 70% of the pot. You know, he goes over the top. Massive.
Wow.
So you it's like, what the heck?
Now, are you thinking to yourself, well, I've got jacks. He's only going to be making that move with aces, kings, or queens, or
no,
maybe he flopped a
close.
Set, or,
not even
or
close.
4-5? Did you put him on 4-5 for the straight?
No. Stop and analyze this for a minute. If he has the 4-5, he has the nuts. It's a rainbow out there of three suits. Another card can't hurt him unless I have a 7-5 and a 4 comes.
So he's more likely to probably call you there.
Well, he's not going to try and push me out of the pot.
Yeah.
If he has aces or kings or even queens, there's a good chance he'll re-raise me in the small blind because he's out of position, wants to see where he's at. I've made a nice pre-flop raise. Even if he smooth calls there on it, is he again going to try and push me out of the pot with that kind of a 2-3-6? I raise pre-flop. What are the odds on, you know, him not having me dominate if he's got a aces, kings, queens, or something like
so
that?
So what were you thinking? Maybe he's got middle pair?
Exactly. He's got sevens, eights, nines, something like that. Doesn't want to see another card. Figure he has the best hand right now. I've got my ace, king, or whatever the heck it happens to be. And even if I have a middle pair myself, I have eights or nines. I can't really call that because, you know, he could have me one-upped or something on it.
So he could even have, like, a little 3-4 suited or something, or 3-5 suited and just try to take it down with a pair and a gut shot.
There you go. Absolutely. You know, lots of different options there, but all of them are below my jacks, right?
Yep.
Well, to keep it, and I know you're in major suspense here, Joe. I know you can't figure out what happened.
Well, let's see if Joe can guess what the guy. Oh, you already told him it was 9-6.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Anyhow,
it's hard to put him on two pair there as well, calling a 3X raise.
Well, yeah. What
you know,
two
usually
is he
six
have?
Deuce or 6-3, you're going to throw that away.
Right.
Now, do you put him on 2-3 suited? Probably not. So you probably figure he's about where he's at by trying to make that raise.
Yeah.
Although it would cross my mind that he might have a set, because I've seen plenty of guys get really excited when they flop a set and they don't think to themselves, how do I get as many chips out of the other player as possible? They just get so excited when they get that set on the flop, boom, they push all in.
That's a possibility. And it was a young kid. He was an aggressive player. He's a nice guy. There were only two hands I could possibly put him on that would beat me. Again, that would be queens. Maybe he doesn't like queens, sees it, thinks there's enough money in the pot. I have an ace king. He doesn't want to see anymore. He's just going to take it down right now. He figures he's good. Maybe he could do that.
Okay.
The other one would be the small set, third set. Not even second set, but third set. You got deuces. You catch a deuce. You don't know what I have. I might have pocket fours and have the gut shot. Who knows what the heck type thing. Take it down now and be done with the set.
Yep.
All right, maybe. Other than that, I think I've got him dominated.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short. All the money's in. Six comes on the river.
Oh,
yeah. So,
how many chips did you guys have? Did you say that already, Dennis, before the hand started?
Actually, I had more chips than he did. I probably had double starting. It was early, so I'm guessing I had somewhere around 20,000. He probably had about 13.
13. I mean, I could see him making that play if he's short.
Yeah,
he's
no, that had nothing to do with it. Believe me.
Wow. Oh, that's,
no,
that's pretty bad.
He called my preflop with a 6-9, and he raised me after what might have been a continuation. I will give him that much.
Yep.
Major raise with just top pair and a 9 kicker. So, anyhow. Go ahead.
Well, the only other thing I can think of, and I'm not trying to be in his defense. I'm just trying to talk poker, of course.
I'll go for it, Joe. What the hell?
Horrible bad beat that you took there. No, really. I mean, that's horrible. But just my mindset and trying to think of what could this guy be thinking. So I would ask, were you raising his small blind and big blind like every lap? And he says,
No.
I'm going to play back at this guy.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from him. He obviously beat me in the hand. Maybe he was trying to make a move. Maybe he was trying to establish him. Maybe he thought I was weak and he read something into me, saw something that wasn't there. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, good read.
There you go. Good read. I only had jacks. Duh.
Right.
Plus, you had him crushed on the flop, and he had to hit his two outer on the river to beat you.
Nah, he had a five outer.
Oh,
he
five outer.
Nine.
You're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
How long were you guys playing together?
Not even that long. Probably less than an hour.
Less than an hour. So there's no way he's saying you're raised this. You know, this is Dennis Phillips.
Exactly.
He's raising me every time. He's being aggressive. He's raising light with air. Let me see a flop and play back at him. So that wasn't the case either. So I'm trying to build a little bit of a case for the guy in a way of why he could make this play. But, yeah, sometimes people just, you know, they take a shot and, you know, they get a little lucky on you. And that's
sometimes people make plays and you think about it and think about it in a logical way, and then logic just absolutely fails you. I mean, last week I was playing a game where I had raised pre-flop with ace-king. Another guy had smooth call. There's a third player in the hand. The flop comes out. I bet. The second player looks at me. He'd been talking a lot at the table. He folds. The other guy raises enough that I realize that my ace-king, which has missed the flop, is dead, and so I muck my ace-king. And the other guy says, I knew I had you beat. And I said, well, what did you have? He said, I had a pair of nines. I said, you knew you had me beat, but when I bet, you folded. Explain that to me. You knew you had me beat, but you folded when I bet.
I'm confused.
What kind
of
logic
is
that?
You said there was one more guy in the pot, though, right?
I'm sorry?
You said there was one more guy in the pot, no?
Yes.
Well, then he has to also get by that guy, though. So he might have said, well, not only do I have to beat you, Paul, the original raiser, but I have to beat the guy to my left. So these pocket nines, I'm going to let these go because I got to get by two guys, the original raiser and the other guy that called the raise.
Yeah, I think in that situation, I'm going to probably call the bet and see where I am. I may not push. I may not shove because I say, I know I've got you beat and I've got a guy acting behind me. But I'm probably going to call to see what happens. And then if the guy behind me raises, okay, maybe I have the first guy beat, but I don't have the third guy beat, and I'm going to have to let it go.
What was the flop again?
The flop was like 7-4 deuce or something like that. It was all undercards to his nine.
Yeah. That's a tough spot, though, with the nines there, because you really don't know where you're at. I mean, obviously, you're dead to any overpair by either of the two of you. And, you know, it is likely the best hand there. But, you know, with a raise and him being a call and another caller, you know, could the other caller have an overpair? Could the other caller had sevens or threes or whatever you said the flop was and actually hit a set? You know, could he have been calling with a small pocket pair? So is that the place you want to go broke with?
I don't think in that situation... Until somebody shows me that they've got something big, I don't think in that situation, if I'm pretty sure I've got player A beat, I'm going to wait and see what player C does. I'm probably going to call, put some money into that pot, find out where I am. I'm not going to just muck my cards without anybody showing any super strength there, are you?
Right. Well, you could also call there and see what the player does on the turn. See if they slow down a little bit or see what they look like. See if you can pick up a read or a betting pattern tell or anything. And maybe they're on some type of goofy draw or something, or, you know, was it a rainbow flop as well? Was there a flush draw out there?
No, it was rainbow.
Rainbow. Well, you know, maybe the guy's on some funny little straight draw or something, but, you know, yeah, you could go either way with that. I mean, the nines, to me, it's a scary hand. And if you think you're one of the better players at the table, you might let the nines go and find a better spot. If you feel like you're a little overmatched, you might really go to battle with those nines. And that might be why, getting back to Dennis's hands, that guy flopped top pair, and he says to himself, hey, if Dennis Phillips has an overpair here and, you know, he calls me, I'm in big trouble. I'm going to have to get lucky, but I don't want to have to battle Dennis Phillips all day, and I just flopped top pair, so I'm going to go with it. You know, that could be a little bit of that, too.
Well, again, I don't want to criticize the player because, you know, he may have seen something, may have had a different read. And also, these guys, these young guys, these aggressive guys, they make some moves and they can go pretty deep in a tournament by doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
If I'd have had ace-king, if I'd have had ace-queen, or probably maybe if I'd have had my middle pair, if I'd had eights or something like that, I might have laid them down right there.
Exactly.
So,
you might have had the nine.
Boom.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And you might even fold the jacks, putting him on a set somehow or something, you know, which is unlikely, but it might be, depending upon, you know, him and the read that you might have on him. You might pick up some tells of real strength because he thinks he's strong because he flopped top pair, even though he really isn't.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris and the poker coach Joe McGowan on 590 The Fan, KFNS and KFNS.com. This portion of the show tonight is brought to you by the Poker Players Alliance, a nonprofit membership organization comprised of online and offline poker players from around the United States who have joined together to speak with one voice to promote the game we love and protect the right to play it in all its forms, whether it's online or in a live casino or in a home game. Poker has been under assault for the last few years because legislators don't understand that it is a game of skill, even if the guy does catch the six on the river. And that's what the Poker Players Alliance is there to protect and work in the state legislatures and the Congress of the United States of America to try to change the laws. We actually think that there's a chance that we could get this done in the next few years. Or,
absolutely.
Or I should say, undone.
Very well worded, yes.
But
undone.
But you need to be a part of it, and you can do that by joining the Poker Players Alliance. For details, go to the website, ppa.org. We'll be back with more of our abbreviated edition of the Lumiere Place Final Table right after this.
In just 2 short years, World Series of Poker champ Dennis Phillips has earned over $4.5 million because Dennis knows when to hold a great deal. That's why Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room is his game room superstore. Hurry to Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room now for factory closeout deals on poker tables, craps tables, blackjack tables, 3-in-1 casino tables, and accessories. Plus, get Amini's closeout deals on complete game room packages, sale priced from just $1,995. Right now, Brunswick Billiard Game Room Suites are thousands off, and American-made pool tables are just $995. Hurry to Amini's now for blowout deals on leather sectionals, area rugs, bars, bar stools, video arcade games, and home theater seating. Hold your deal interest-free with 2-year layaway. So take a tip from Dennis. Get your great deal today at Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, Highway 40 and Boone's Crossing in Chesterfield Valley, the home of the Copper Dome Amini's.
Whether you play poker in a home game, a cash game in a casino, or online, this is the show for you. It's the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
We're live in the Lumiere Place Poker Room in downtown St. Louis. This portion of the show brought to you by Poker Stars. Dennis Phillips, a member of Team Poker Stars Pro, and been hanging with some of your fellow Poker Stars Pros.
I absolutely have been. Since I joined the team up there, I mean, they've sent me around to South America. They've sent me to London. They've sent me to a number of places. I got to play with Chris Moneymaker a lot down there on this one. Mm-hmm. We hung out together. In fact, he taught me another game, which in another week we might get into, 17-card Chinese poker.
Wow.
Yeah, but we'll get into that one later. He took me for $300 on that. So anyhow.
Yeah, you know, whenever somebody introduces a game that you don't know, the story always ends with, and I lost X number of dollars.
I was kind of happy I only lost $300 on this one. But anyhow, Chris is a real good guy. In fact, he got taken out by a hand down there. Now, Chris, you remember, he's been with PokerStars since 04, supported by him and with the Team Pro in that way. But he just took some nasty hits down there on it. We were trying to play a sit-and-go, a 10-man sit-and-go for the 10K, the high roller. Mm-hmm. They needed another player. He came over and got me, so we sat down and played that. Just playing around there, he actually was doing well at the table, pretty much running it somewhat. He's a good, solid player. People don't give him as much credit as they should. To make it a long story short, gentleman under the gun, who had a fairly short stack, made about a 3X raise, guy with two down from him, there was a fold and then went to the next guy. He re-raised him. Chris looked down at kings. Okay, no problem. I'm sorry, the second guy smooth called him. I apologize for that. Chris looked at kings and re-raised.
Okay,
so there's a raise.
So you've got raise, smooth call, and Chris re-raises.
Re-raises with the kings. Immediately the guy that was under the gun, when it gets back to him, shoves. But he's only got about 10,000 or about 6,000 total on his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to the guy who did the smooth call. He shoves.
For a lot of chips?
For a lot of chips. More chips than Chris had.
Wow.
Chris looked down at the kings. He said, if the guy's got aces, he's got aces. I'm not laying this down. He shoves.
Uh-huh.
Guy under the gun, deuces. Middle guy, the smooth call in that, nines. Chris turns his tens over. Here
kings,
we go.
Right.
Or kings, sorry, kings. You know, great shape, right? Dominating the other two.
Okay, and Joe McGowan, the poker coach, is here with me. Joe might agree with me. I can see the guy with deuces thinking that maybe everybody's trying to make a move on him here, and he's going to shove because he's a short stack, and he's got to do it at some point.
Yeah.
But well, what about the other guy also moving all in there?
I'm thinking to myself, with the kings, I might have to make a tight fold. You know, I'm nervous to heck with the kings. Like, I could hardly call it the kings in that spot. Yeah,
yeah, no,
you know, the deuces and the nines. That's pretty wild.
All right, so what's the flop come out?
Flop is like a 6-7 deuce.
All right. So the short stack hit is set.
Right.
But Chris has got so much money, and he can still make money off of the other player,
he can
right?
Actually, not only he can actually end up winning in the hand. He'll make enough back from the other gentleman he'll make up what he made to the short stack on it.
Yeah.
No problem at all, right?
Okay.
Oh, no.
Turn card comes a brick, and guess what's on the river? Obviously.
That's unreal.
That was unreal. It's like you've got to be kidding me. Two sets caught against you to get you to do it, and he's out of the sit and go.
Chris was telling us when we had him.
That's unbelievable.
Chris was telling us when we had him on about a month ago that lately in tournaments he's just kind of gotten
Yeah.
You know, card dead.
He handled it like a gentleman, just looked at the guys a little bit, grinned, and, you know, good game and walked away.
Unbelievable.
I mean, what do you do?
But, I got to ask you one quick WPT question.
Okay.
Because the WPT championship's going on. Yesterday, these were two tables. Tell me which one you'd rather sit at.
Oh,
here are five players from each table. Hoyt Corkins, Crazy Marco Johnson, Jennifer Harmon, Eric Seidel, and Phil Ivey. That's half of one table. The other one, Jeff Madsen, Mike Matisau, Howard Lederer, Nick Binger, Barry Greenstein.
I plead the fifth. Holy cow. Wow. Can I pick my position at least against these guys?
You want to be to the left of everybody.
No
Unfortunately,
kidding.
You're sitting in a circle, Dennis.
Oh, my gosh. That's mad. Oh, wow.
You want the measles or the mumps?
We're all out of time for this week. Jamie Gold was scheduled to be with us tonight, but because of the technical difficulties, we have bumped him back to next week. He will have stories about coming in on the final table at the Irish Open.
I heard about that.
We'll talk to him about Dream Team Poker, and we'll talk to you live from Monte Carlo.
That is correct. I will be there.
That's a PokerStars EPT event, the final, right?
The final one. That's the EPT, final event, the last of it, after the one in San Remo, after the one in Copenhagen, after the one in London. Now's the big time, and everybody's going to be there.
All right, we'll talk about that next week with the poker coach Joe McGowan, Dennis Phillips, and Paul Harris, all at the Lumiere Place final table on 5-9 of the Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.